We wanted to bring you this.
The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now I'm joined by Emily Felix. Emily was on the programme just a few weeks ago talking about the decision by the National Centre for Pharmacoeconomics not to finance medication for Friedreich's ataxia. After speaking to Emily back then, I wanted to find out a little bit more about what it's like to live with the condition. So Emily joins me now. Hello, Emily.
Hi, Claire.
You're very welcome again. Delighted to speak to you again. And we heard a little bit about your story and the condition of Friedreich's ataxia the last time you were on. But we wanted to talk to you in more detail. Tell me a little bit about when you were first diagnosed and what led up to that.
Yeah, so I was diagnosed with Friedreich's ataxia when I was 12, in my first year of secondary school. So I suppose the symptoms of the condition only really started appearing in my last 2 years of primary school. And they were very small at first, like poor coordination, unsteady on my feet, just poor at sport and exhausted after simple activities like walking home from school or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it was getting worse and worse, I suppose, and fatigue was becoming a bigger issue. And I was coming home from school covered in bruises, unexplained bruises, really. I couldn't remember what I had done, if I had fallen or banged into things. And we then went to a private physio, and that followed by private OT, who both kind of stressed my mum and my dad that, no, something is wrong here. This isn't an ordinary case of just a clumsy child. So I was then referred on to a paediatrician who, she was very much of the view that I was just a clumsy child. There was nothing more to that than I was a clumsy child. I will always be a clumsy child. But she referred me on to get a scan, an MRI of my brain, just to rule out a brain tumour. So when that was ruled out that I had no brain tumour, then I was told, yeah, see, it's not a brain tumour, you're just clumsy. Mm-hmm. So we were kind of left there. But we knew still there was something wrong, and I knew myself there was still something wrong. So eventually, anyway, we got up to Temple Street to Professor King, who carried out a lot of different neurological tests and numerous blood tests. And then after a few months, I was diagnosed officially with Friedreich's ataxia then.
And I'm sure Friedreich's ataxia was not something that you were familiar with. I mean, many of us are not. So you had to learn very quickly at a very young age about the condition.
Yeah, no, when I first heard of it, I'd never heard of it. So I didn't even know how to react to the news. In fairness to her, she did give me the news in the nicest way possible, I suppose. And she did tell me that physically, yes, I will experience lots of physical challenges in the future. But she reassured me that intellectually, my brain will never be affected, that there was no reason I couldn't achieve what I wanted to achieve. Mm-hmm. And that she expected great things from me in the future.
A great positive message, yeah, to get at a very difficult time.
No, I'm always grateful for that. And that's the one positive aspect of the diagnosis that will stay with me. Mm-hmm. And it really has motivated me all these years.
And now, Emily, now you're in your late 20s, isn't that right?
Yeah, I'm 28 now. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So how is life for you now, and how does Friedreich's ataxia affect you?
It has progressed hugely and dramatically. It's an obvious change in the years. So like I skipped into secondary school. I exited secondary school in walking frame, and I started college in a powered wheelchair, and now I am fully wheelchair reliant. And as well as the mobility decline, I've had scoliosis, aggressive scoliosis. So I had 3 spinal surgeries, one after another in secondary school. I also live with cardiomyopathy, which is a common symptom of Friedreich's ataxia, as the muscles weaken in your heart. So I live with that worry. Luckily for me, it has stayed mild for quite a few years, but I'm realistic and I know not to take that for granted, that with the nature of the disease, everything will progress. And that is the reason for a shorter life expectancy.
So you're dealing with huge challenges, as you've explained so well there. How do you cope with it?
Yeah, it's very hard, but I'm lucky. I have a really good support system around me. My family and friends have always been great to me. I've always grown up with my family telling me there's no reason I can't do what I want to do when I can't achieve what I want to achieve. And I've worked very hard, and I'm still working hard and achieving big goals. I'm very ambitious. But yeah, mentally it does take a toll. And I think that's an aspect often forgotten about in these discussions about drugs, reimbursing drugs for diseases. Like, we are humans, and it's very hard emotionally.
And what did you study in college?
I studied business studies, and then I did a master's in human resource management. So yeah, I did those, and then I went straight in to a job I love, and I've been working there full time for the last 4 years.
Right, so you've been able to maintain a career and progress in that career while dealing with all of this, which I think goes back to what you said earlier about being ambitious and wanting to do all of the things that you would have expected to do with your life.
Yeah, definitely. I do it, but it's not easy, and I'd be lying if it was easy, as everyone else, all my colleagues, like, it is extremely difficult for me, particularly with the fatigue side of Friedreich's ataxia. I'm absolutely shattered by the evenings, and I can't do anything in the evenings, really. My days are, the most of my energy is spent trying to work. And then once I'm done the working day, I just want to go to sleep. Then it's draining.
And what about pain, Emily? Do you have a lot of pain?
Yeah, I do. That's another thing that has progressed, though. I suppose in the first few years I didn't have pain. But now I have nerve pain every single night without fail. I wake up at least once a night with this burning sensation in my feet, and it is nerve pain. I was offered medication at one stage to ease that pain, but like a lot of medications, they have side effects. And with this particular medication, fatigue is a huge side effect. And for me, fatigue, I'm already suffering so much with it. So yes, I had to weigh up the pros and cons.
Yeah. And in terms of progression then, what are the medical professionals telling you about what is likely to happen next?
I suppose medical professionals haven't been telling me necessarily what to expect. I suppose they don't want exactly to tell you what to watch and when it'll come, because everyone's so different. The disease affects everyone so differently. But the reality shows, when you look at other people's progression with Friedreich's ataxia, like, I'm aware that my speech will disappear in the next few years. I'll be reliant on a synthetic voice. My swallow will progressively get worse to the point I need thickeners for water and all liquids. And my breathing will also progressively get worse to the point that I might need ventilator.
How do you feel about all of that? Are you afraid?
Yeah, I'm very afraid. I suppose during the days I can kind of compartmentalize the disease and then my daily life, and I just get on with things. But at night time, when it's just me and my thoughts in bed, it's what scares me. It terrifies me. I know I'm realistic that it will keep progressing, and it is totally out of my control. Even though I'm working so hard on keeping every ability I have, I go to the gym twice a week to preserve the strength I have. I do exercise at home as often as I can. I'm doing the best I can, but it's out of my control at the end of the day. And I suppose that's why it's very hard to understand why someone can, who has this drug in their hands and in their control, can turn around and say it's not worth it. And
yeah, just to explain to people, this is the drug Skyclarys, which is used in some jurisdictions. It won't be reimbursed as things stand in Ireland. And that's why we were speaking to you on the programme in the last couple of weeks. And you firmly believe that that drug would help you enormously. Is that right?
Yeah. So I suppose a big misconception about the drug is that it's ineffective because it won't save my life. It won't reduce mortality rates. But I suppose for me, the central issue is my quality of life, and also preserving a little bit of independence that I still have, and dignity. I think these outcomes matter enormously, just as much as living longer. Living longer was never my intention, and it definitely, I know the patients at Friedreich's ataxia that are campaigning, we have never claimed this the life-saving drug. We just want to live our lives with a bit of quality of life. Like, who wants to survive living in a body that is failing year by year? Like, I certainly don't want to live in a body that just keeps getting worse and worse every year. It's not an inequality of life. You wouldn't treat an animal that way.
So you believe that the drug then will improve that quality of life for you and also give you, as you said, dignity while you're living that life?
Exactly. Yeah, it's proven to improve the quality of lives of patients, and it is proven slow progression. And to get as far as it has got, to be approved in the USA and then followed in Europe the year after. Like, that had to go through stringent tests, lots and lots of tests and studies to get to where it is now. And it wouldn't be on the market if it wasn't proven to be effective.
Mm-hmm. In the meantime, your life continues as it is with all of the effort that you're putting in to keep yourself as well as you can.
Yeah. No, it continues to decline. And that's the thing about Friedreich's ataxia. It's not a static illness. Patients across the country, we're losing mobility, we're losing our voice, we're losing our independence, and these losses can't be recovered. This drug preserves the abilities we still have, but it doesn't recover what we have lost. So really, like, postponing or delaying access to this drug that is proven to slow progression, it isn't a neutral administrative decision. Mm-hmm. It's a decision with permanent consequences.
Okay, well, Emily, I'm very grateful to you for talking to us again today and delighted that you have come and told us more about your life and about Friedreich's ataxia, because as we said at the beginning, I think it's a condition that most people won't be familiar with. So thank you for telling us your story.
Thank you, Claire. Thanks.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.